This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
The book, The Personal Touch, Encouraging Others Through Hospitality by Rachel Crabb. The definition of hospitality is being given to generous and cordial reception of guests. Offering a pleasant or sustaining environment. Kindness in welcoming guests or strangers. And kindness means treating gently and considerably. In 1 Peter 4:9, it tells us that we're to offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And for some people, hospitality comes very naturally and as easy as breathing, but for others, it doesn't just happen. It needs to be nurtured. And if it doesn't come naturally, it may mean that we need to be intentional, like we are admonished in Philippians 2:3, where it says, with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. For me personally, I would rather be putting hospitality into practice this morning than standing up here talking about it. So for some of us, it comes more naturally than it does for others. I've done lots of it through the years with Aboriginal people, constituency, and family and friends. And kind of the stage of life I'm at now, it doesn't happen quite as much as it would have in the past. There's three words that I like as I think of hospitality, and that's having open hands, having open hearts, and open doors. And as you think of openness, there's no enclosing or confining barrier. It's just a freedom of being open, to be ready, accessible, and having a generous attitude, such as being generous in our giving and willing to hear and to accept and deal with. I had already mentioned about it, giving you a feeling of freedom and being you and not trying to be somebody you're not. Christian hospitality isn't primarily pretty dishes and picture-perfect food like Taste of Home, but having your house in tip-top shape, because our houses are made to live in. And it can include these, but practicing hospitality and servanthood is right in the middle of our practical Christianity. It should be a part of our everyday life. Our emphasis should be on how we give ourselves to minister to others, not on how we perform or entertain. And our hospitality should create a loving climate in helping others to bloom and offer Christ's love to others. The purpose of biblical hospitality is to encourage others. And it's about loving others through Christ and making people feel special. We have some good examples in Scripture on hospitality. And the one is on Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18. When they were getting, those visitors were coming to their tent, Abraham didn't even know who they were, but he ran. He ran out to meet them. And he didn't just kind of look around and try to figure out, now who is this, but he ran to meet them. He didn't even know who they were. And then he was sensitive to their needs, and he brought water for them so they could wash their feet. He told them to rest under the tree because they had traveled a long distance and they were most likely quite tired. And Abraham and Sarah also provided food for them. So they were sensitive to what their visitors were needing. Sometimes we might not invite people into our home because I'm not prepared. I don't have any baking in the freezer or no special food on hand, and whatever special food might mean to you. Then we also have the account in 2 Kings 4 of the Shunammite woman and her husband who prepared that room for Elisha. And it was a special room that was prepared especially for Elisha. It had a candlestick, it had a bed, it had a stool, and it had a table. Just what he needed for relaxing, restful time when he came through there. Then it was the widow who fed Elijah. She had so little, but she was willing to share what she had, and God multiplied her food. She looked beyond herself. She didn't stand there thinking, oh, am I going to have enough for myself now? But she looked beyond herself and at what Elijah needed. And so as we share with people around us, we can share with the people we're ministering to, but also share with our fellow believers. And it tells us in Romans 12:13 to share with God's people who are in need and to practice hospitality. And then 1 Peter 4, it tells us to above all things we're to have fervent charity among ourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And then it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And in Titus, it tells us to be lovers of hospitality. That's enjoying doing it. And then in Luke 10, we have the account of Mary and Martha, where Martha, she was distracted by all her preparations. And Mary showed her devotion to Jesus by sitting and listening. And I think Martha was probably overly concerned about the details and making sure that everything just had to be so. And most likely she was stressed and uptight, whereas Mary was more relaxed and she had an open heart. She was ready to listen. And Jesus needed a friend right then. He needed somebody to talk to. So Mary chose relationship, Martha chose work. But on the other hand, I think that we can have a serving heart like Martha and also have a Mary heart, have a Mary heart, willing to sit and just listen. So I think we can do both, but in a proper perspective. It depends on our attitude. We heard this morning about our attitude, and it has so much to do with how we look at situations in life. What do people need from me? The need of being sensitive. They need my heart. They need my ear. They need my attention. They need my care, my compassion. Or do they need food? Sometimes that's all they need too. And to be sensitive is what is so important. Then if we go into the qualities of a good host, there's three qualities: sharing our home, sharing our food, and sharing our love. And so we have also an example of Lydia in Acts 16. She was a businesswoman, had been a worshiper of the true God already. But then when the gospel arrived through the preaching of Paul, God opened her heart to respond and accept Christ. So she then invited Paul and his companions to come to her house, offering hospitality. And in the NIV, it says, come and stay at my house. It also said, she persuaded us. So she had an open heart and she had an open door. Hospitality should be a part of our life as it relates to the church community and to believers as well as to the unsaved. In our day and age, it can be so easy when we're traveling to stay in a motel and eat in restaurants, but we can miss out on some relationships and hospitality by always doing that or thinking that we're intruding on someone, they may just be glad to have you stop by and be happy to give you a meal on a bed. 4 points that Rachel Crabb shares in her book is to concentrate on people, not preparations. Number two is to keep supplies together for one impromptu meal. And number three is to have some type of small refreshment on hand, like a flavored tea or coffee, cheese and crackers, or cookie dough for quick preparations. And number four, keep my sense of humor and lose my sense of pride. A few years from now, will guests really remember if the bathroom mirror was spotted when they dropped by? So what will they remember? The emphasis should not be on how well I perform or entertain, but am I giving myself in ministry to others? Am I giving my own unique personal touch and care? is what makes our ministries or hospitality more effective. As we think of sharing our home, we think of having guests in, but I think also another important part is to also take into consideration our own families. Sometimes we can be so busy hosting other people and having things nice for other people, and we forget about our own family, that they like when mom sets a nice table with candles or a candlelight meal and to have the table set very nicely. So that's a very important part, I feel, too. And sometimes people might feel that they can't have guests because their house is too small, or it's not nice enough, or I can't cook like so-and-so. And I'd just like to encourage you, if you feel this way, take the risk. Invite someone in. Practice hospitality is the best way to learn. And most of our houses aren't always dust-free. The floor isn't always clean. Our houses are made to live in and should have a comfortable and loving atmosphere for our husband and our children. As Christian women, we do need order in our lives, which includes cleanliness and a home that expresses warmth when someone comes in the front door, but it doesn't mean to have everything in tip-top shape. I remember one time when our children were young and we were expecting guests from, I think it was from Pennsylvania, and oh, there was toys around, and I was so concerned about these toys that they needed to be picked up and put away. So where was the focus? It was on me and what these people are going to think about me as a housekeeper. And it didn't give for a relaxedness among my children. And our guests, I mean, I'm sure that they wouldn't have mind seeing toys laying around on the floor. So yeah, what will our guests remember the most? Whether our bathroom mirror was spotless or if they were received with love and care. And it should not be about impressing people. It is about making them feel wanted and welcome. Our one daughter, she had lived, her and her husband lived in a one-bedroom apartment in New York City for quite a few years, and there was only, in a basement apartment, there was only one window in the apartment, and it was in the bedroom. And they lived there with three little girls, and they had many guests in that little apartment, and which included overnight guests as well. And she enjoyed hosting. In 2012, they moved to another apartment, but it's also, in our mind, it's not a big apartment. It has two bedrooms now, but it still isn't huge. And one day when I phoned her, she was having a ladies' brunch, and some of the other ladies brought food as well, but I wondered how many ladies were there. And she thought, oh, about 9 or 10, and plus there was children included as well. So she enjoys what she has and is making good use of what she has. Plus, she now has 9 big windows instead of just one little one. And she loves her windows. And then my other daughter, Martha Joy, is a minister's wife, and they are living in what used to be Northern Light Gospel Mission's headquarters in northern Minnesota. She has a huge house, and she enjoys hosting as well. And the two big events of the year for them is a youth rally, which is coming up, I think, maybe this weekend, and then also a minister's meeting. So she doesn't have to do the meals, but they have beds to fix and then laundry to do after it's over. And so it's not so much the size of our house or our home, but it's our heart's attitude in being open and comfortable to share what we have and to be able to do so with joy. Another thing I think for us to be cautious about is to not make apologies for how our house looks or when we're cooking or something. I don't know if you've ever been in a home where the host points out negative things about this or that, and it doesn't really make you feel that good to have her make negative comments about something in her house, maybe that she's embarrassed about, or even some food that maybe didn't turn out quite right. And again, where where is our focus? And is it on me so I look good, or am I caring about my guests? And the important thing, too, is to enjoy the home that God has given us. Just last month, there was a friend from a northern community that it was kind of a short notice thing, and she was going to be coming to our house and staying for a couple of days. And right then, that felt big to me. We had been away for 3 weeks, and we're home for about close to 3 weeks again until we were leaving for this trip. And it just felt big to me to think of somebody being there for a couple of days. And anyway, it didn't happen that she stayed that long because of some circumstances that came up. She left earlier. But the interesting thing was that day I looked at my flip calendar that was by my sink, and this is what it said. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. It's from Hebrews 13:16. So I think God put that there for me for right then when I needed it. Also, sometimes some of us don't have a lot of extra facilities for overnight guests. And so sometimes that may mean maybe children sleeping on the floor or even sleeping in mom and dad's bedroom. And sometimes for Amos and I, when we had overnight guests, why we would give up our room for our guests and we would sleep somewhere else. And with the house we live in now, we do have guest facilities, which is really nice because all of our children live a distance away and stay overnight except for the one that lives in Ontario. So make use in profitable ways what God has given to us. We have open hands, open hearts, and open doors. And some ideas for making a room feel special for your guests. One time I had two of my granddaughters, one of them sitting here, came for a few days one summer, and I fixed a basket with some snacks and stickers and pretty soap, et cetera, and put it in the bedroom for them. And they were delighted that they liked that. And with all the dollar stores that we have around, a person can easily pick up some items to do something like that, and it adds a special touch. Some other suggestions would be magazines or books to put in the room that may be of interest to your guest. Even a bouquet of flowers, lotion or shower gel in a basket for their use. And you can use your own creativity. Many ladies are very creative with crafty things. then sharing our food. Food is also very much a part of hospitality. I enjoy having people in for coffee, and it's really a wonderful way to connect with someone, just sitting around the table, chatting, and sometimes it's a way where people will really open up too, just in a casual way instead of in a more structured setting. So sometimes I just serve a drink, sometimes I may pull some cookies or muffins or something out of the freezer. But then what about when unexpected guests happen to come about right at mealtime? Do you panic? And I realize that for some, food prep on short notice comes more easily than it does for others. And something that might be helpful is to have something on hand that is easy to heat up in the microwave, and freezers and microwaves are a real blessing. Another idea would be to have a written menu. Emergency recipes or just a simple favorite menu, something that's easy for you to prepare, something that you feel comfortable with. And sometimes we may need to change our menu or focus because of unexpected circumstances that might come up. Maybe you have to resort to soup or salad instead of the bigger spread that you were thinking of preparing. Again, to remember, the food is not the important part, but the important part is to create a warm and caring atmosphere and a time of fellowship. When our hospitality is limited to to advance arranging, we miss out on blessings and joy. And it can be an enriching experience to have spur-of-the-moment guests. In fact, sometimes that works better than having something planned long ahead of time. One Saturday morning, Amos and I were nearly finished eating breakfast when some friends came to the door, and they had traveled from a northern community and had driven most of the night with a few hours of sleep. So it was fun to make blueberry pancakes for them and just to enjoy connecting with them again. And there are those times, yes, when we wish to be more elaborate with our hosting, using pretty tablecloths, placemats, cloth napkins. And I'm sure we all enjoy sitting down to a table that's nicely set and decorated and with delicious food and food with a variety of color, which adds to the loveliness of the occasion. Another thing is to not refrain from hosting just because you can't afford going all out, whatever all out means to you. Soup and jelly bread is just fine. There's this one little guy from a northern reserve that when he comes to my house, he wants homemade bread and homemade strawberry jam, freezer jam. And it was already when one time his mother had been out and was passing through Dryden, and she had phoned ahead and wondered if I had any strawberry jam to sell, because she said she was running out of ideas of things to buy to take back home for her son when she came home, and she knew that he liked strawberry jam, and so I didn't really have any to sell then. But 1 year before Christmas, I hosted a tea party for some of our Aboriginal friends who live, they live in the town of Dryden, and I used pretty teacups, and the table did look really nice, and they just really enjoyed that. We had such a good time together. And then someone suggested that, well, we should have a potluck meal, which we did then around Christmas. And that, again, it was just a fun time interacting with them. And since then, it's been brought up, you know, when are we going to have another potluck or have another meal together? And so far, it hasn't worked out, but I would like to pursue that sometime too. And a number of years ago when, we had, sometimes I'd have tea parties for some of our staff ladies. And anyway, that one time when some of them came, they really kind of played it up. They came dressed up. One of the ladies, I think, had a wig on, and they brought some rather unique hostess gifts, like a partially burned candle and then a bottle that I think it had almond-flavored water in, but it was supposed to be, I guess, perfume or something like that. And so anyway, yeah, just interesting things that we can do to interact with each other, with our whatever ministry we're with, or as if we're locally in a church community, we reach out to people around us. Then we can share our love. Sharing food and drink is a big part of hospitality, but a more important practice is giving the person our full attention. We can invite somebody into our home, but we can communicate to them in small ways that we had other things that we should be doing, and that we're making it a real sacrifice to sit here and spend time with them. Our attitude and what we convey to our guests is so important. It's practicing hospitality, or servanthood, loving others through Christ, and making people feel special. Listening is such an important part. Sometimes we don't have to say that much. And the person may end up saying, oh, you helped me so much. And yet, we didn't even say that much. But just to have a listening ear, that is a real gift, is to be able to listen. Some of us can tend to talk quite a bit. And our Aboriginal people, some of them are more quiet. And sometimes it can feel uncomfortable sitting there and, you know, think we should have conversation going. But to them, it's okay to sit there. We don't have to be talking all the time. I look back at regret with a time a number of years ago when there was two Aboriginal girls that were being cared for by their grandparents, and they would occasionally come to the door and they'd want to visit, and so many times I would turn them away, and I really regret that because I was, well, I felt like I was busy or I feel like I didn't have time to have them come in. And those girls are older now and have gone through some major losses in their lives. And yes, I can still talk to them. I can still communicate with them. But what I wonder, would they be more open to me if I had been more open to them back in those earlier years? And so that, yeah, it makes me feel sad that I responded to them as I did back then. As good hosts, we will be open and we'll be ready to listen to another person's pain. We have so many people out there that have so much pain, so much hurt. And just to be able to know how to move into their lives, to listen, to allow them to open up to them. And it's not that we need to have a lot of answers, but are we willing to be present with our heart? The goal of hospitality should be to encourage others and to pray with them. And we need to focus on them, not just on the preparations, to be interested in their life and not sit there talking about my children, my grandchildren, or all the time, but to hear them, listen to what they have that they would like to share. And to be a good listener really is a gift. So the heart of hospitality should be relationships as well as our sharing our home, sharing our food. And then also we need to let others minister to us. It says we're to serve one another, and sometimes it's easier to give than receive. And we need to be good recipients. Another story I think of is, this was quite a few years ago too, that this widow lady, she wanted to give us, I think it was a whole ice cream pail of blueberries, wild blueberries. And those of you who know what wild blueberries are like, they're little and it takes a while to pick them. I don't know if she had picked them or not, but she wanted to give us a bucket of blueberries. And this was hard for me to take because she was a widow and I know she could have used them. And so I don't think I really wanted to take them, but I took a half a part of the bucket then. But afterwards, I should not have done that. I should have just taken what she wanted to give me, even though it bothered me to receive that from her. But that's part of, we need to be good recipients. Several years ago, too, we flew into a northern reserve and for a funeral, and we stayed with some friends there, and they had just moved back to the reserve. They had previously lived in Dryden for a number of years, and they just moved back to the reserve, and she didn't have a lot of her kitchen supplies and things brought in. But you know what? It works to eat stew out of a glass or a mug, and it's okay to sleep on single beds for several nights, and they really served us well, they hosted us well, and they enjoyed having us. Another part of showing hospitality and encouragement with love is giving care packages, notes or letters of encouragement, or taking a meal for someone who lost a loved one. So to be a woman of hospitality, we need all three of these qualities: being willing to share our home, our food, and our love. And we each have our own personal touch as we offer hospitality. I'm not going to do it the same way as you will, and neither will you be, your way be totally like mine. But we can learn from each other, and we can develop our own style and care for others. So to be a woman of hospitality, it depends a lot on our attitude and what we do with what we have. And to let God order our days and let him be Lord of our time. So let's remember that in our day and age, there's lots of competition with the needs of our family, our home, our church, and ministry functions, and people can get so busy. But to focus on having our priorities in the right place. seek God as to what is best for you and your family. And don't neglect your family by becoming so busy being hospitable to others that that they're not cared for. So it needs to begin at home. Hospitality needs to begin at home. And so our families, our children enjoy those special things that we can do for them in our own home. So let's have open hands, open hearts, and open doors as we continue in our journey of life as women and as hosting others. Another thing I like to do usually is when we have guests, I like to soon afterwards get the sheets off and wash them and put them back on so that they're ready for the next people, because I think that can, if you're rushing around trying to fix a bed when you know you're having guests coming, and just to have them ready, it helps them to feel like you're prepared and ready for them. And sometimes, especially if you're using beds from your family, when your family has to move out of the room, why that it may not always be convenient. So my challenge for each of us is to relax, enjoy practicing hospitality, and it says in 1 Peter 4, 9 and 10, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received and serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So may God bless you.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.